Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Inchon, MacArthur's Gambit, to Iron Dragon, Command Magazine, to Mayfair Games. I'm Ben Clark, and normally this would be where Rhett says, I'm Rhett Kipp, but he's not here today. Today is October 22nd, 2010. That's right, I'm doing the show solo tonight. I apologize about that. Rhett and I had internet problems earlier, and he is unavailable this evening. So, we're going to go ahead and do this thing solo. First, I want to run into our sponsorship, as usual, PurplePawn.com, your source for game news on the internet, and GameThonic.com, 40% off all deck-building games not named Dominion in the month of October, 30% off pretty much everything else. Type in coupon code PAPERMONEY to get an extra 5% off anything else. That's GameThonic.com, GameThonic.com. And I want to do a special shout-out to Dan over at Dice Like Thunder. His podcast is the finest Games Workshop-related podcast ever. I say this because Dan likes our show and keeps mentioning it to his legion of listeners. That, and I don't know how he got to episode 105 doing such long shows. This would be where Rhett would normally say something pithy. However, Rhett's not here, as I have mentioned earlier, so we're going to keep moving on. Let's go right into the news. And news this week. There's a couple of interesting things going on. One, RPGs for Pakistan Relief. This one's off of the PurplePawn.com. One Bookshelf and participating publishers are again raising money for Doctors Without Borders, this time for Pakistan Flood Relief. Those donating just $25 will receive an incentive package including 70 RPG products with a total retail value of over $700. Just want to mention that. That's an awesome cause. I participated in their last one for Haiti. And still have not gotten around to reading all of those. And you can check that out. One Bookshelf, by the way, rpgnow.com. And I think they also have drivethroughcomics.com as well, has a separate offer. But again, check out RPG Now and help out Pakistan Relief. $25 gets you a ton of games. And speaking of good causes, this one generating a little bit of heat. Fantasy Flight Games wants local game stores to spend $1,000 to advertise in their stores. Now, let me describe this for you. In exchange for putting a video advertisement box, basically an iPad in a box, in your game store, FFG wants a non-refundable $1,000 in wholesale purchases, no promises on when the box will be delivered and how long they will support it, complete remote control over everything the box sees, hears, or displays, and $650 if anything damages the box. And they get to take the box home when either you or they feel like it, with no refunds. As you can tell, a little bit of a slant there. This provoked a lot of commentary on PurplePawn.com earlier this week. Basically, if you buy $1,000 wholesale worth of product, again, figure direct from FFG, so figure you're looking at anywhere from 40 to 50% off of retail from direct from FFG. So you're talking about at least $2,000 retail of product to move in your store. They'll give you a box basically that's going to do video advertisements for basically FFG. Now, basically, I say basically again, this is comic content that they are, you've seen it on their website if you've gone there. It's videos, promos, things like that for FFG product. I don't know that it's interactive or not. The thing is, that's a boatload of product to buy on any one product line. So this is kind of interesting. One, I think it's cool that they're doing something with, they're repurposing the content and doing it in the local game stores. I do think that the purchase price is a little steep. I think that the buy-in on this program is going to be less than they think. I know when Rhett and I were talking about this the other day, Rhett, working in an FLGS, as it were, a brick-and-mortar store, thinks this is not a great deal for retailers, if only because, like I said, you're looking at $2,000 worth of retail product you got to move to make this thing pay. And the box only advertises FFG, and it's repurposed content, and they have complete control over it. Now, interestingly enough, Rhett and I, back in, oh my God, this is probably 1995, 96, worked at a game distributor who came up with a product with a kiosk idea called New Century. It's okay if you don't remember it, cause even if you were in the industry at the time, it didn't go over particularly well. The idea was we were going to produce a web-based kiosk that was going to you were going to be able to put it in your comic or game store, and it would basically have this huge database of games, right? We were at a distributor, so it was all possible games and comics, I think, we were going to do as well, that we were going to roll out. Now, we, given the limitations on the technology at the time, it was difficult to produce something this well. We had some buy-in from Palladium. We had some support from them and a couple of others. But the staggering amount of data entry that we had to do and the technology limitations that we had prevented us from kind of rolling this thing out well. But we were talking about something that promoted that, one, was free, and, two, promoted everything in the product line. And the... that wasn't a particularly great idea. Retailers didn't necessarily want to deal with that piece of technology. I mean, really, you had to have a dedicated PC in your store, okay? But you control the PC, and it advertised everything. And the end goal was that you could basically sell products that you didn't have in stock, okay? FFG is doing a similar thing with just FFG product and just... and with the strings attached on the purchase. Rhett was pretty vehement that he thought this was not a particularly great idea. I have mixed feelings on this. I think it's actually not bad. On the other hand, it's a lot of product. So it's something to think about. Again, those are the two big stories this week. We also have some small stories. GMT is running 20% off for everybody. But this is the kicker, by the way, and this one comes from the Purple Pawn. Thank you very much. One of their specials is if you are unemployed, as I have been until recently, you can and can prove it, by the way. This is the other kicker. Then they will send you any two in-stock games completely free. Nice promo. That's the Tough Economy special from GMT. I think it's an awesome promo, and I hope they do well with it. I'm almost disappointed that that I'm currently employed. So, anyways, let's move into commentary this week. And normally, this would be a Rhett and I banter back and forth. However, Rhett not being here, I will address you specifically, potential game manufacturer. One of the things we want to talk about, we talked about retail last week, and this week I wanted to talk about something different, even though it's fourth quarter. But let's talk about manufacturing, because now is the time that you want to start getting your ducks in a row. If you're going to New York Toy Fair, if you're going to debut stuff at GTS, now is the time you need to think about it. In fact, if you want a product out next year in time for Origins or Gen Con, now is the time to start thinking about manufacturing. And so let's talk about that. I'm going to assume that you are, as the potential manufacturer, one, doing this for the first time, and two, are doing this for the first time. So there are a couple of things that come up all the time when you're printing your first game. And first off, I want to talk about do-it-yourself versus turnkey. No one ever sold a game by assembling bags of pawns in front of their TV every night for a month, okay? Do-it-yourself is not particularly the best way you can go on this. Turnkey manufacturing, find a specialist who knows what they're doing, who can source your parts, have them make the game. Do not go to your local printer and try and find out if there's a way he can do playing cards. Why? He can't, okay? Playing cards require special equipment, the special layout, and the only way you're going to get a price that makes any sense at all is if you go to somebody who knows what they're doing on that. Now, there's not that many of them in the United States. Quite frankly, there aren't a ton of them worldwide who know what they're doing when it comes to doing playing cards in small runs. Now, anybody can do playing card runs over about 5,000, and the reason for that is the piece of equipment required is called a roll'em. Makes it much easier to lay out and also do. So if they've got a roll'em, they can do your large run. If it's a small run below 5,000 decks, which quite frankly is most of the game industry, then you're going to want to find somebody who knows what they're doing and can lay out a deck of cards for you. So again, do-it-yourself versus turnkey, I always recommend turnkey, and that's not just because I used to work for a turnkey manufacturer. You need to be concentrating on selling your game, right? Making the game better, marketing the game. You need to be worried about the website. You need to be getting emails out there. You need to be getting on the geek. You don't need to be sitting in your dining room calling box manufacturers trying to find somebody who can manufacture a box or trying to assemble, you know, bags of pawns. Don't do this yourself, okay? The time for that part of the industry where you could still do that has passed. And I think the official last gasp might have been cheap-ass games where James Ernest, inventor of Kill Dr. Lucky and many others games, did very low-budget games cheaply and would manage to find an audience. But that was back in the 90s, and it managed to produce a couple of classics, but I don't think you're going to necessarily see that anymore, certainly not unless your name is James Ernest. Now, that said, the exception of this is RPGs, okay? When you're doing a board or card game, much more difficult to find somebody who knows what they're doing. With RPGs, if you'll pardon my French, any asshole can print a book. Now, there's a couple of companies who are really good at doing this cheaply. I want to say there's a company in Texas, Taylor Printing or Taylor Publications out of Texas, that a lot of the companies use. They do really well with the books. Basically, we're talking about black and white, perfect bound, with a color cover. And Taylor out of Texas is good at that. There are other companies as well. In fact, this is something that Rhett and I had talked about a long time ago. I don't know if we did this on the air or not, but companies are coming back from China for black and white printing. The cost savings aren't there, and the hassle and the lead time of dealing with overseas printing has made it such that it's basically about the same price and certainly less of a headache to print here in the States for stuff that's largely black and white, perfect bound. So RPGs are kind of the exception. There are a lot of people who can do a perfect bound black and white book. For board games, there's only a few companies in the States, but let's talk about stateside versus overseas. I used to say all the time, do your first game stateside, and then think about going overseas for your next game. And the reason for that is that there are so many moving parts on a board game or a card game that you wanted the kind of control and the kind of advice and the kind of partnership you can get from working with somebody stateside. I don't know that is as true as it used to be, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But the learning curve is, I don't want to say it's very steep because that would imply it's a short learning curve. It's a long learning curve. There's a lot of stuff to know about printing. And if you don't know that stuff about printing, what you don't know can hurt you badly, okay? And to the tune of, you know, $1 to $4 a game, all right? Oh. All right, the guy on the motorcycle's leaving, thank God. All right. Anyways, so the difference is like I said, when you're dealing with somebody stateside, you can talk to them the same business day. Their artists understand English, so if there's a typo, they can fix it. They will oftentimes give you corrective advice if there's problems with the art, and they will also, if there's a problem, you can sue someone in the United States. You cannot sue someone in China. What they're likely to do is say, we'll give you credit on the next run. In the meantime, you've got anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 games that may or may not meet your standards. So I used to say this, but one, okay, there are good companies in China. Two, good friend of mine is Juan Mendez is now the sales rep for Ludifact USA, and I've had a chance to talk to him about where Ludifact is going and what they're doing. And Ludifact, but for those of you who don't know, is the world's largest game printer in a nutshell. They're based out of Germany. They do things in Germany and China. And I have a lot of good things to say about them. There are some people in the game industry who have had issues with Ludifact over one thing or another, and I won't mention who they are or what those issues are. For the same reason, by the way, that I'm not going to talk trash about U.S. manufacturers that I know about. And I'll name some names here in a minute because I know everybody's standing by with a pencil or a pen. But there are, you can go overseas with less risk than you used to at this point, as long as you're dealing with somebody who knows what they're doing. And there are companies out there, and you can find them on the internet. Now, stateside, there's probably four or five companies. So, for instance, everybody knows Cartamundi. Cardamundi is based, they combined with Yukinto. They're based in, I think, Dallas now. Mike Zuhl, who is their VP of North American sales, nicest guy in the whole world. But Mike has said they don't want to do anything less than 3,000, right? Below that, they're not cost competitive. They don't want to deal with it. For most of us, 3,000 is a fairly decent sized run, okay? But Cardamundi doesn't want to deal with it. So what do you do when you're not doing that? Well, that leaves us with Sierra Packaging out west. That leaves us with EPI Delano in Battle Creek. That leaves us with Package Right in Indianapolis. And I want to say that there's one or two other companies. I think there's one or two other companies who do a couple of parts of this really well. Okay. And again, these are companies that are primarily printers. You can find almost anyone locally to do assembly. Quite frankly, the rates are going to be about the same on assembly almost no matter where you are nationwide. But really getting the, and by the way, don't ship boxes. Okay. Boxes are mostly air. They're a pain to ship. Either have your turnkey guy do this, all right, or get it done locally. But chances are your turnkey guy is going to be able to do boxes. It's cheaper than your local guy anyway. But that said, the final question you need to think about when you're looking at manufacturing is digital versus offset. And this is a printing equipment issue. Digital equipment, okay, is basically, I don't want to say basically, because I'm sure somewhere out there there's a digital printer listening to the show. Digital printers are basically gigantic laser printers, okay? They're not super fast, but they don't require plates or setup or anything else like a traditional offset press. Oh, the motorcycle guy is back. Hold on, everybody. There we go. Okay, you can tell I'm not doing this for my normal rural location. A digital press doesn't require any setup, so you can do small runs cheaply. But because they're slower, an offset press over, say, somewhere between 750 and 1,500 sheets, an offset press becomes cheaper, even though it requires more setup time. Now, the quality is roughly the same. Digital's a little less than offset, but it's honestly going to be hard to tell if you're not looking for it. Now, the different, like I said, and again, where we're going with this is, if you're looking to print 100, 250, 500 games, either for a prototype or because you have a micro product, you need to find somebody with a digital press to do it. If you're looking at 1,000 or more games, this is when you're going to want to talk to a guy with an offset press. I know I've talked to Steve Jones at Blue Panther LLC, I believe has a digital press and specializes in doing games. There are other companies out there as well. If you do digital press, okay, there are not a lot of companies who specialize in games who do digital press. And this is something where you're going to have a combination of turnkey / do-it-yourself on digital. And the reason for that is that you might be able to find somebody who can do half of it digital but doesn't necessarily have an assembly operation, right? So you're going to have to find an assembly / packaging place that can assemble your game, that kind of thing. So again, when you're doing manufacturing, think about do-it-yourself versus turnkey. And again, I do not recommend do-it-yourself. Think about stateside versus overseas. Again, it used to be first game stateside, then think about going abroad. Now, not so much. And then digital versus offset, again, that's really a quantity issue as to where you're going. Speaking of digital versus offset, again, RPGs are the exception here. RPGs are very easy to do digital. Almost anybody with a digital printer, again, is going to be able to do this. The thing with RPGs is that in a micro run is that you might be able to use something like Lulu.com, which is a one-off printing anyway, or do PDF distribution on that. So, again, that's something to think about as well, but we'll save that for another show. So, anyways, that's the commentary. I wish Rhett were here to provide his feedback on that. Again, he's not. So, let's move right into listener mail.
Message for you, sir.
And our first listener mail is from Daniel. Hi, Ben and Rhett. I have a question for you two. You often see the police arresting big-time drug lords, and my question for you two is this. Do you two ever fear being arrested? Seeing your show is about as addictive as any of the drugs out there. Or is it not yet classified as a drug? And is this another one of those cases where the law has not yet caught up with the technology? Really looking forward to my soon-to-come biweekly fix. Best regards, Daniel. Daniel, thank you very much. Folks, I'm not making that up. We really do have fans, honest. So the six of you listening to the show, Daniel is desperate for his fix, which is why I'm recording the show solo tonight. So Daniel, thank you very much. And no, we don't fear being arrested, at least not for the podcast. that said, we have another one here from one Creppy Von Krepster. I swear to God, that was the name in the email. Hey guys, love the show. Been a fan from episode one. Never had anything important enough to comment on until now. Who was beeping at the end of episode 36? I pictured one of you nuking up some Gino's pizza rolls while listening, but now I need to know what was really happening. Thanks. And the answer on that, by the way, I talked to, I talked to Rhett the other day when we ran into internet problems. That was Rhett's wife microwaving her coffee. Now, I know there are some people out there who think microwaving coffee is verboten, but that is indeed what was happening during episode 36. Those of you who were bothered by the beeping, and now, by the way, the motorcycle, it was Rhett's wife making some coffee. So, anyways, we'd love to hear your feedback and comments. We'd also like to hear your questions. All this info is available on our website, purplemoney.com/. Did I say purple money? I did. purplepawn.com/papermoney. The email, papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast, and you can phone us 773-634-9377. Leave a voicemail on either one of those, and we will play those on the air for you. And again, you can check out our RSS feed at www.purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed. And that's it for the show this week. Our upcoming stuff, I still have in my show notes, where is my copy of Dust Tactics? The answer, though, this week is that I know for sure it arrives on Monday. Dust Tactics is finally shipping, so I'm excited about that. And our next show is going to be November 5th. We're going to try to have an interview on the show for you. We haven't done that in a while. But quite frankly, hey, now that you've heard about manufacturing and me doing a show solo after 37 shows, let's get somebody on the show who can do some talking. In any case, that's all for this show. I'm Ben Clark. And normally this would be where Rhett says, I'm Rhett Kipp. But he's not here. So, again, we'll talk to you November 5th.